Hey, have you ever had a tough time forgiving someone? Now, I know that most of us, if we go back and we look over our lifetime, maybe you don't even have to go back that far to look at it, but you can see where somebody maybe did something to you that was that really just kind of cut you to the quick, as it were. And you knew in your heart of hearts that that the Lord tells us that we should forgive, but you just had a hard time doing that. You struggled with that. Now, today, as we continue our look at developing Christ-like character, one of the things that we want to look at is embracing forgiveness. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 18, and come on back. We'll see you in just a second. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Again, it's great to have you along on board with us. And just a moment ago, I asked you a question, and I know it's a pretty tough question as we ponder it, but are you one of those people that has a tough time forgiving others? Maybe you sit back and say, well, you know, I generally don't, but yet there was this one particular thing that still just kind of sets wrong with me or what have you. But I know all of us, this is a challenge. This is a struggle when it comes down to forgiveness. But yet we still have to remember that the Lord tells us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, if you're like me, there have been a lot of things that God has forgiven you of. But we want to take a look in God's Word in Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. At exchange between the Lord and his disciples concerning forgiveness. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there, Matthew chapter 18, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses. It's verse 21 and 22. So Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21, says this. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you, again, we pray that you will help us to look at your biblical truth concerning forgiveness. Lord, I pray that as there are circumstances and situations that may exist in our hearts and our minds, that you would deal with us today. Lord, that you would help us to give ear to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through your word and through this time that we'll spend together. Lord, I pray that you will help us where correction may be needed along the lines of forgiveness. And Lord, I pray you'll give us courage to take action in that regard. So Lord, bless our time that we will spend together here today in your word. And I pray that you would use me as your vessel to disseminate your word in a way that your people need to hear it, so as the Holy Spirit may convict and work in the heart. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this particular exchange in the Word of God, there was a question that Peter asked Jesus, and it's a very, very significant question. And you're going to understand why here in just a moment, particularly if you haven't ever researched a little bit of the background of how things were in that day and the cultural norms, as it were. But the bottom line is that Peter asked a very significant question. Peter asked this. He said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now, yeah, notice what he said. Yeah, as you go back to the whole scripture, it says, "As my brother offends me, or as my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him?" And then he goes ahead and he puts this little caveat. He says, "Up to seven times." Now, why is that significant? Okay, it's significant because back in Peter's time, the rabbis traditionally taught that forgiving someone up to three times was sufficient. Okay, so think about that. The teaching of that day from the rabbis was that if you forgave somebody for something up to three times, that was sufficient to be able to do it. Now, Peter may, at this particular point when he was asking this question to Jesus, he might have been striving to appear to be more religious, because what he does is he extends that number. And by the way, Peter knew the number that the rabbis taught, but he extends that number from three up to seven, okay? The question really, as he's asking, reveals a natural human tendency, and that natural human tendency that you and I have is to limit grace. Yeah, how many times do we sit back and say, well, how far can I go? Yeah, I've had people ask me things like that before, and what they're really trying to find out is they're trying to say, well, what is the line? I want to pretty much get as close to the line as possible without going over. So, what is it that that we're taught? So, Lord, what are you telling us? The rabbi says three times, and I even tried to look a little more spiritual by saying, should I forgive my brother up to seven times? Okay, now as you begin to think about that, as you begin to think about how at times our thoughts and our actions are designed for us to try to limit God's grace, I want you to reflect on your understanding of forgiveness. When you think about forgiveness, what is it that comes to heart? What is it that comes to mind? Okay, do you have limits or conditions for forgiving others? Now, I know I've heard it many, many times over my years when somebody will say, well, you just don't know what they did. In other words, they would say, well, if I did this, if they did that, then I could forgive them much easier. But because they did this, then all of a sudden, I don't feel like I am responsible to forgive them. Folks, that is plain and simple, limiting the grace of God. My question for you today is, do you have limits or conditions for forgiving other people? When you think about it, now, I'm sure that as you're listening to me right now, particularly if you're in the middle of a situation dealing with forgiveness, that the Holy Spirit has already placed the circumstance, the person, whatever it may be, on your heart. And you have just been confronted by the Holy Spirit with the question, are you limiting God's grace in withholding forgiveness from that person? Okay? So I want you to ponder that. I want you to think about what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now as you're journeying through this Bible study with me together. So there's another question that comes to mind as we look at today's text, and that is simply this. How did Jesus respond to Peter's question about forgiveness? You remember, he's already started off trying or seemingly looking to be more spiritual more than twice what the rabbis have said for forgiveness, and Peter doubles it and adds one. So he's saying, well, seven times? Should I forgive him seven times? But Jesus answers him and says this. He says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70, but 77 times, okay? Or seven times seven, depending on your translation, 70 times seven, okay? Jesus' reply does not suggest a literal count of 77 or 70 times 7. That's not what it's saying. In other words, you don't sit there and take your ledger out and say, oh, I forgave this person today, that's one. And when I make it up to the total number, then I'm going to be good. No, that's not the way we do that. It's a heart matter is what it is. So you need to understand that today Jesus is not, in his reply, doesn't suggest a literal count of 70 times 7, but instead he is emphasizing boundless forgiveness. He is indicating that forgiveness should not be something that you measure in quantity or a quantitative analysis of it, and you don't sit there and just check off your boxes along the way. Could you imagine how surprised Peter must have been at that particular time when Jesus said that? Now, Peter's already tried to look a little bit more spiritual than anyone else by increasing the number of times of forgiveness that the rabbis were teaching. So, I'm sure that in his mind, he was probably thinking, well, Jesus will think that if I go seven times, that's more than abundant. And then Jesus comes back with a number that is even, it is multiplication higher than what he said before. But now, again, you just have to know and understand. The reason Jesus did that was to prove the boundless, that there's no limit to the forgiveness that we are required as his children to provide to those around us and in our lives and that we know and that we see. He's emphasizing boundless forgiveness, no boundaries to it, indicating that it's not some quantitative analysis or some quantitative number or measurement, but it's about the heart, okay? So when we think about these things, we need to consider how Jesus' message challenges the societal norms, particularly in that day, and the personal tendencies of limiting forgiveness. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, those that had been taught by the rabbis would have said, yep, three's enough. That's not a problem. Jesus says, I want you to go even further than that. So how can this perspective transform your approach to relationships when you think about it? When you think about the people that you interact with and the people that you deal with in your life, how does knowing this, you know, essentially change your perspective and transform your approach as you deal with the people in your life? It should, because you know what? There are so many times that we hold so much against people. You know, often we won't look at it from a spiritual standpoint and say, well, I'm limiting God's grace and limiting God's forgiveness in their life. But what happens is oftentimes we'll say, well, they don't deserve it. And yet God says, no, that's not how you measure that. There's not a measuring stick. It's not about numbers, but it's about the heart. Okay. Well, what's another question that we can bring out of our text today? Well, how about this one? What does this teaching of forgiveness reveal about the character of God and His expectation for believers? Now, remember what we said. You know, part of our series is talking about developing Christ-like character. So what is it that as we look through this particular text in these particular verses, you know, what are the teachings of forgiveness? How does that reveal the character of God? Remember, we're supposed to emulate Him. We're supposed to walk like Him and try to become more like Him. So how does this characteristic of forgiveness emulate God and His expectation for believers? That's another huge thing. God does have expectations for His children. He has expectations of you and I. He puts them right out here in His words, and He doesn't cut us any slack on those. You see, God's forgiveness is abundant, and it is unconditional. Those words sting a little bit when we think about how God has forgiven us. How's He forgiven us? He's given us in abundance, and He has forgiven us unconditionally. And then what He does, He turns around, He says, I want you to be like Me when it comes to others. In other words, I want you to forgive others abundantly, and I want you to forgive others unconditionally. Boy, that's a big word, unconditionally. We always like to put strings on things. Well, if he does this or if she does that, then I'll forgive them. Or if they show me these things along the way, then I will grant that forgiveness. That's not unconditional. That's putting strings and attaching strings to it. So God's forgiveness is abundant and unconditional. And Jesus models a forgiveness that reflects God's grace. Okay, God's grace is limitless and unconditional. That's a huge word. You're going to hear me say that. You've heard me say it many times already during this Bible study. And I will probably say it again. It is unconditional. We too many times try to put those conditions on things to help us be in control, or even to give us an excuse to say, I'm not going to forgive that person because they didn't meet my conditions or they didn't meet my expectations along the way. Okay? So as followers of Christ, we are called to mirror His infinite grace. Yet the call to forgive repeatedly highlights our duty to extend mercy just as we have received mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I can sit back and I can look and I can think about how God's mercy has been abundant in my life. So many times I think about the passages that we read about in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, particularly verse 1 that says this. It says, judge not lest ye be judged. And then, you know, my paraphrase of that simply is that God says, if you're going to use a very high, strict standard of judgment against somebody else, if it's good enough for you to use against somebody, then it's good enough for Me to use against you. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, I have been forgiven of so much and so many things. I have been held to a light standard when it comes to how God has judged me. And my thing is, I want to be able to extend that grace and that standard to other people. I need to forgive others in the same way God has forgiven me. I need to extend mercy to others in the same way that God has extended it to me. And if you evaluate your life, one of the things that you're going to find is that God has extended those graces and mercies to you in an abundant fashion. And therefore, He has an expectation that you extend those mercies and graces to those in your life. Even when you don't want to. And boy, that's a tough part. So you know what? There's probably something in your life right now that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about, maybe a person, maybe a circumstance or a situation. So identify, you know, an area or relationship in your life where forgiveness is needed. And for some of you, you've already done that. Then you need to ask for God's strength to forgive without having strings attached. You know, to be able to forgive unconditionally, to be able to forgive in the manner in which God forgives us. Okay? So what's another question that we can conjure up out of our text today? Well, what are the potential consequences of failing to embrace forgiveness as Jesus teaches? What happens if we just say, yeah, I'm not going to do it? You know, I know that the Lord tells me that I should forgive others as He's forgiven me, but I just don't feel like I'm going to do that because what they did. If you only knew, or if Jesus only knew what they did to me. Well, folks, Jesus does know. He knows exactly what's going on and taking place. He knows their heart, and He also knows your heart. So what are the consequences if we just sit back? I've had that happen in my ministry over time when somebody has said, and I pointed out in the Scripture what the Scripture says about bitterness and unforgiveness, and I've had people sit across from the table in my office and say, well, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that right now. Well, one of the things is, number one, there's consequences for that, and number two, the person that you're hurting more than any is yourself, okay? As we observe this particular situation, unforgiveness can lead to bitterness. It can lead to fractured relationships, and it can lead to spiritual stagnation. You know, you're not going to lose your salvation, but folks, you can break fellowship with God if you're not walking in His will and not walking in His way. You see, there's a parable in Matthew 18 following our text today that warns about the consequences of failing to forgive. And it is highlighting that those who do not forgive may face God's judgment. God doesn't sit back and say, I suggest that you extend forgiveness and mercy and grace. He's saying, I command you as my children to extend that love, that forgiveness, that mercy, and that grace that I have so graciously bestowed upon you. You are to bestow that upon others as well. And if you don't, then there can be a consequence for that. Most of us in our lifetime have faced consequences over something. Sometimes we've done it purposefully. Maybe it was when we were a child. You know, you knew that if you did something, there were going to be consequences. And there were times that knowing those consequences kept you from doing what you shouldn't do. But then there were other times that even knowing the consequences, you went ahead and did it anyway and had to face the consequences. Well, folks, God is telling us that there may be some consequences and judgments for the things that we are doing. Reflect on the adverse effects that in our lives of harboring unforgiveness in our own life. You know, are you holding on to something that can be released to God? Are you holding on to something that should be released to God? You know, and instead of holding on to it and hurting yourself, why don't you release that to God today? Allow Him to deal with you. Now, folks, I didn't tell you that it was going to be easy. Yeah. Being in that position is never an easy position, particularly when it comes down to forgiving those who have wronged you. And like I say, I know that there are some very severe things maybe that have happened in your life. And you sit back and it is just difficult for you to say, it's hard for me to forgive that particular person. Well, you know what? I want to challenge you right now that as the Lord's put that on your heart, to even go to Him with honesty and say, Lord, this is difficult for me to forgive this person or this circumstance or this situation. But Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. Help me as I desire to try to release this to You, that I might be free of the sin of withholding forgiveness. Help me, Father, to be able to be free from that today and to release it to You. And let me make you this promise. If you do that, God is going to be faithful to be able to help guide you through each and every step of the way. I still remember having a conversation with a fella who had a very deep-seated circumstance that happened to him when he was much younger. And there was a person that he needed to forgive. And he said, I can't do it. And we talked through the Scriptures and we went through it and we prayed. And the Lord really convicted his heart. And one night he said he got down on his knees on the side of that bed and he said, Lord, I don't even know how to do this, but as best I can, I want to forgive this person of this situation that took place many, many years ago. And Lord, I'm going to need your help to do it. I don't even know how to do it. And he said, see, the next day he came by my office and he said, you know what? He said, I was a changed human being from the time I got up off of my knees. He said, I felt like the weight of the world had come off of my shoulders because I had been carrying this burden of that unforgiveness for so many years. And he said, you know, when that came off, I felt like a completely new person. And he said, now that doesn't mean that the next day is going to be tough. Sometimes you got to go back and you have to say, Lord, I don't want to go back where I was. So I'm forgiving. I'm putting this into your hand. I'm asking you to help me. So what's a biblical truth that we can learn out of our text today? Well, forgiveness is a divine principle shown by God through Jesus Christ, expecting believers to forgive without putting limitations on it and reflecting God's boundless and gracious nature. Man, I'll tell you one thing. What a joy. Yeah, this is tough to read at times, particularly if we're guilty of holding that unforgiveness against somebody else. But what can we do about it? What are some action steps? We always say that it's not just enough to have the head knowledge of what the scriptures say, but we need to make application to to our lives with what's going on. So, you know, what are our action steps? Can we identify someone towards whom you are holding grudges or resentments or that unforgiveness? Can you pray specifically for the strength to forgive that person this week? Maybe you need to be like that guy that I just gave you the example of. Maybe you need to get on your hands and knees by your bed this very evening and say, Lord, I don't even know how to do this, but I'm asking you to help me. And can you consider reaching out to restore the relationship if that's at all possible? By the way, another fellow told me one time, the same guy, he said, well, you know, the person is deceased that I need to forgive. Folks, forgiveness has no statute of limitations. You need to forgive them. Even if they've already passed away, even if they're gone, even if they're out of your life, you need to forgive them for your sake, not necessarily for theirs. You need to forgive them for your sake because the scripture tells us that that's what we need to do. You know, I'm going to be praying for you as you work toward that goal this week. Let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at or what our readings are for this week as we prepare for next week's Bible study. But this week, I want you to spend some time in John chapter 14 as well as Philippians chapter 4. As next week, we will continue our series on developing Christ-like character. Next week, we're going to be discussing walking in peace out of John chapter 14, verse 27, as well as Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So I hope and pray that you will read up on those scriptures this week and that you will join us next week as we look at being able to walk in peace. But let me pray with you before we conclude our time together today. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much that you've been so good to us and that you have forgiven us in ways that we obviously don't deserve. But Lord, we also realize there's an expectation that you have that we grant forgiveness in the same way that we have received forgiveness. So Father, right now, I just ask and pray that you would help us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us along the way. For those folks or situations that the Holy Spirit has placed on our hearts and lives this very day, Lord, help us to take action that would be pleasing in your sight. Give us a great week, Lord, as we go forward, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Please take this moment to accept my personal invitation to you to join us for services this coming Sunday. Our services start at 10:45 in the morning, go to 11:45. We also have multiple opportunities for discipleship throughout the week, including Sunday school, Awana for the kids, women's and men's small groups, lots of different things along the way. We would love to have you come and join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, if you need some information, you can contact us or you can get some information through our website that's posted throughout our Bible study down there at the bottom corner of the screen. And we would look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.